welcome. Start with you, Anton. Give us your name, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Anton Vetterlein with Friends of Twilliger. Friends of Twilliger is very much in favor of Southwest Corridor light rail and improved transit connections to Markham Hill institutions. During the planning process, we lobbied, testified, and provided written comments on the need for a light rail stop at Markham Hill to provide the most direct and robust transit connection. However, in the interest of expedience, this locally preferred alternative bypasses Markham Hill and Portland's largest employer and potentially sacrifices Twilliger Parkway by requiring 10,000 riders a day to walk 3/8 of a mile across it to OHSU. Metro and TriMet intend to acquire the land for the connection from Portland Parks and Recreation and split the parkway by cutting down trees and replacing them with structures of concrete and steel. The draft environmental impact statement states that, quote, the impact to Twilliger Parkway from the vegetation removal and ground disturbance will be long-lasting and will result in severe visual change to the park. These impacts cannot be mitigated down to de minimis, and the Markham Hill connection is therefore assumed to be a permanent use regardless of the options selected, end quote. These connection options make the aerial tram seem pretty benign, and in fact, we would like to see a second tram from Barber to OHSU studied as an option because it would likely have less impact. Friends of Twilliger's mission has always been to protect the natural, scenic, and historic qualities of the parkway. On numerous occasions over the last 100 years, the Portland City Council has taken action to preserve and enhance the parkway as well. And now it's your turn, the current City Council. We need you to unequivocally tell TriMet and Metro that Twilliger must be protected and that they need to work harder to create a robust transit connection that will not do the significant damage that these options do. And we support or would like to see language added to the resolution, Exhibit C, that would include compliance with the Twilliger Parkway design guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you. Wes?
Good afternoon. My name is Wesley Risher. I'm here today to speak on behalf of the Friends of Twilliger as well. I happen to pull out my monthly TriMet transit passes that I've been collecting for the past 28 years of my TriMet use going to and from work. I am a true transit user and have been using it again for 28 years. Portland City Council needs to instruct the follow-on Markham Hill connection discussion to preserve the Twilliger Parkway. The Markham Hill connection has to work. The second biggest transit stop in the entire line will be at the Markham Hill connector, and it will serve Portland's largest employer. The employees, patients, and OHSU and VA deserve to make the quickest, easiest, attractive, secure connection between the Gibbs Street Barber Station and the 7th floor Kohler Pavilion. This represents the employees and the patients, and your instructions to TriMet and Metro is paramount. Connection 2, which I passed out, you've all received it by our conversation in your offices prior to the hearing today, preserves the parkway the best long term and has the benefits I've mentioned. There is no need to connect the Twilliger Parkway to the Markham Hill connector at grade. Go under the Twilliger Parkway, preserve the Twilliger Parkway. Do not allow OHSU to hijack Metro and TriMet's process and convert Portland Park property to a new front door at Campus Drive. Sam Jackson is OHSU's main entrance, not Campus Drive. When I moved to Portland in 1989, there was a parking lot at Campus Drive where there is grass today. Portland Parks revoked the permit for OHSUs to have that park property restored back to grass and plants. It is park property in front of the KCI Institute, not OHSUs.
Tony?
Good afternoon. My name is Tony Jordan. I am the founder of Portlanders for Parking Reform, and I want to provide some food for thought regarding the park and rides in this project. As you heard, up to 4,075 structured park and ride stalls are planned in this project. And I'd like to provide some context of cost. I think that should be thought of when we're talking about parking. That's conservatively $200, probably by the time this is built, $300 million worth of parking being built in this project, which will last for a long time. To compare that, the current Metro bond is spending about $65 million to acquire naturally occurring affordable housing near transit. So this project is expecting to spend somewhere between 3 and 5 times the amount of money on parking as we're spending to acquire affordable housing. This could be 12 to 1,700 built or acquired affordable housing units near this corridor, filled with 3,000 plus maybe 3,600 people or more who would ride transit quite regularly if they lived near it. It makes much better sense, I think, to build housing, a lot more housing near this transit corridor line than to build parking. We can bring people into the transit centers with better bus service, dedicated bus lanes, etc. And I want to really just strike that we should really think about when this will come online and not where we are today. This project is going to be built in 2027. The current climate report, we don't have the time. If we're still building 4,000 parking stalls in 2027, I think we've gone down the wrong path and we've made a terrible mistake that we probably won't recover from. So please, I urge you to not consider Fritz 1 because that keeps those park and ride at any station as a priority. Seemed to me it was saying don't build it. Don't build the park and ride if you don't have to.
Tony, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
You just said that the Portland Housing Bond has allocated $60 million for housing at various stops. Are you talking about 26-199, if it passes, would allocate money? And you're talking about the Metro Bond, or you're talking about the Portland Housing Bond?
I believe the Metro Bond contains $60-something million dollars to acquire existing.
So we're talking the Metro Bond, if it passes, has money allocated.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that. I think you said the Portland bond. I just want to make sure.
Right until the last 10 seconds, I thought for the first time, maybe, you and I are in complete agreement.
Maybe we still are.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Gavel this meeting to a close.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else
that didn't sign up, wishes to testify? But that's all who signed up. But we need to get the mayor back on the phone.
Okay.
He got disconnected.
Well, while you're working to get the mayor back, I assume we have some questions for staff. So, Dave, probably you should come up as well.
Because you know I have another slide. This is the questions opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'll start since we just had the testimony about the OHSU connector. I was curious whether second aerial tram, sure, had been considered. And also, I think you said earlier on that an incline had been ruled out, and I guess I was curious why that was the case.
So earlier on, we looked at escalators, a number of different ideas, a very early brief look. So I think what you should be hearing from us is we think a connection is important. We have two ideas. We want to open the process back up. We know this is really important. We've heard it today. We knew it before. This is going to be really difficult. And I think we open up and look at all different options. So I think that stakeholder committee, along with steering committee, coming back, been asked to report back to City Council on the progress on this because it's something that's very important. So I can imagine the first meeting we get to, we go back through and say, this is what we looked at. What else should we be looking at? I'm pretty sure someone else is going to say, we ought to be looking at aerial tram. Mm-hmm. A number of us were just in Pittsburgh, so the inclines and the viniculars keep coming up. I don't think it probably has just as much impact, if not more impact, on the park. So that's the lens we're going to be looking at. Okay. So I think much like the Tillicum Crossing where we opened back up and said, okay, what's the art of the possible? How much benefit are we getting to it? Is it really used? Is it fast enough? I think that's the conversation we want to have again on a more focused community-based discussion about the connection to Markham Hill.
So a second tram is not off the table.
Hopefully it's not going to get quoted in the newspaper. I think we'll look at all options.
They can quote me saying a second tram is not off the table. Okay. Any other questions?
I have a question. Yeah. I don't know whether this is for Ms. Boyle or someone else, but I'm not as conversant in why having a connector from Southwest 53rd to PCC is generating the kind of pushback it is. And we heard from one testifier today said that it's likely to increase crime, which will be news to my daughter, who's one of those students that would use it. So what exactly, putting aside the land use question, and the land use question gets resolved and maybe ultimately decided by this council or LUBA, putting aside the land use question, what exactly is the objection to having a connector so that students who don't ride their bikes and who don't walk or who choose to for walking may not be their best option can't have a connector?
So I'm going to suppose on this, and I think some of it is because it represents different vehicular traffic potentially using that street, although it is a local service street that by our transportation system plan is appropriate for that small type of commuter jobs type connection, such as a shuttle would provide. I think probably the biggest concerns that I have heard consistently is that vehicle access to the campus is something that is of large, large concern to the neighborhood, and that drives everything else. That is my opinion. That's my opinion for what it's worth.
Yeah. My button, I don't know if it is according to...
It is now.
Carla, now it's on.
Thank you very much. It's a bad sign when you get muted by the council clerk.
I'm sorry, so you were saying?
I'm going to withdraw Fritz 3 because I think that a small shuttle, as was described, might not have the kind of bad impacts. If the challenge, though, I think in addition to what Teresa said, is that if we've got 900 parking spots at 53rd, there's then a lot of traffic that's coming along Pomona, Capitol, 53rd to get to that parking lot and then taking the shuttle to PCC. So it really is connected with should we have a massive parking structure, a parking place, which won't be used very much by Portland residents, that would then... You know, that would be the shortest connection to take the shuttle rather than parking at the Barber Transit Center. So that's all kind of connected with those, which is why I would like us to figure out a way to have further discussions on the location and capacity of the parking, park and rides. So I appreciate you working with my chief of staff behind the scenes to look at my other amendments. Colleagues, I'm going to withdraw... number 6 about the grocery stores, because I think it's covered in the, especially those serving local residents. So I'm withdrawing 3, I'm withdrawing 6. On number 1,
you withdrew number 2 also.
2 was already gone, I never proposed it.
Okay.
But number 1 is about the Barber Transit Center and whether or not there should be park and ride facilities there. And the way staff has it, they've already made the decision that the city's best interest would be best served by elimination of park and ride facilities at Barber Transit Center. I believe there's a lot of Portland residents who live a mile north or a mile south who, although you might think a mile is easy to do with a bus or by walking, in fact, it's very steep terrain. There aren't sidewalks to connect even to the sidewalks that there are. And so as a practical matter, as we head into daylight savings time and cold, rainy winters, a lot of Portland residents, both in the Multnomah neighborhood, in West Portland Park, in Far Southwest, in Arnold Creek, are going to want to be able to park at the Barber Transit Center, and I believe that the West Portland Town Center itself is not likely to be sustainable unless there is some parking to support businesses there. So I think that is an open question, and so I understand that Teresa's concerned about the word determine and whether review or is there anything else that could get amended into that sentence that would make it...
Can I ask also an additional clarifying question? When you use, I was focused more on West Portland Town Center planning process first to just understand, because everything in here seems to be a term of art. What do you refer to when you say West Portland Town Center planning process?
The process that Eric is leading.
Yeah, I believe that refers to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's upcoming land use planning process for the town center area, which would be going contemporaneously with the continued evolution of the project design.
Well, who has the final say on that, Eric?
So transit facilities, park and rides, those are actually regional facilities, and they have a regional function, not merely a local function. And we use the regional process through the steering committee to select where those park and rides should be best suited, where the trade-offs of cost, ridership, traffic-related impacts, and all the other elements happen. So I don't know how the West Portland Town Center's planning process aligns with or does not align with the work we'll be doing early this next year on the transit center, but it's really not just about land uses. There's a whole spectrum of things that will go into evaluating which park and rides can be added to the project in such a way that we're balancing ridership and cost so that we are cost-effective and competitive for the funds at the federal level.
Commissioner Fritz, would you consider withdrawing Fritz 1 if the council passed Fritz 7?
I won't support that.
I'm trying to understand if there's a relationship between the two.
I have some questions actually on the land use final order, but I'm wondering in light of what you're saying, it's hard for me. There is this ongoing discussion of what capacity the park and rides, the location of the park and rides, particularly the two that are in this section of Portland, which, as I said, the one at 53rd is mostly going to serve people who don't live in Portland and is going to, of course, cut through traffic. One of the amendments that I suggested, which was rejected, which I'm not pushing, is that if there's going to be a lot of cut through traffic from Kerr Parkway 49th to the 53rd, park and ride, if there is one. There's a lot of major neighborhood collectors that don't have sidewalks, that wouldn't get sidewalks, and which would, so with increased traffic, would be really challenging. So let me just ask my questions about the land use final order, because that's the piece that I still don't understand. What I had previously read was that when Metro drops the land use final order, all affected jurisdictions must conform their land use plans to the land use final order and issue all necessary permits consistent with it. The requirements of this law are the only land use procedures and requirements to which land use decisions and land use approvals of any kind related to the construction or operation of the project shall be subjected. So how does that still allow us to have the Tooele Parkway plan or make changes in any of these factors?
I'll take a shot at this.
Thank you.
The proof is in the taste of the pudding. We still go through local land use approvals. We will still go through the Type 3 process for design review and the E-zone that we need to go through for that process. So let's just take Markham Hill, for instance. So the first thing that we want to do is convene the stakeholder group that we have. That will be made of neighborhoods. We've talked about that group. That makes a recommendation to the steering committee made up of elected officials. In this case, Commissioner Udaly would be sitting on that. They make a choice of, okay, is that the right choice that we should then put into an environmental impact statement? We then go through that environmental impact statement. There are federal rules about Section 4F parks that we've got to adhere to, and the city has another opportunity to comment on that. Then after we've got approval, we've got funding, then we would then proceed through the local land use approvals, as we mentioned before, the E-zone and the design review. All of those are opportunities for certainly public comment, and those are the local jurisdictions' rules. Their objectives, goals, and objectives are applied to the approval of that.
Thank you. That's helpful. And what you said earlier was helpful, too, in terms of the amendment, and Malou also, in terms of the amendments that can happen at the Metro Council as this process moves forward.
Can I say one last thing?
Please.
Same process, Tillicum Crossing, a lot of work that went into what does the city need, what do we need in order to produce something that we think the community can be proud of. That's the aim. That's what we're trying to do with the Markham Hill Connector.
I appreciate that. So then why does it say in the state law that that doesn't happen?
State law. Legislature said we want to protect the project. really, and again, I hope the press isn't talking here, but there are places around the country where you have litigants who are trying to hold a project up for any reason that slows things down. This gives a project certainty, and that's really important when we're going and competing against other cities across the nation, having certainty as you start moving forward. If you get into a lawsuit at a later date, that over a land use process, that provides certainty and a way for us to be able to be competitive on a federal level.
Thank you. That's helpful. And what we is currently in the locally preferred alternative doesn't include things like the Collins Tunnel, which was just discussed a couple of days ago. Does it lock us into the crossing Terwilliger Parkway? No.
No, it does not. Okay. And nor does it lock us into the... In fact, we modified the steering committee told TriMet to move forward with an LPA. And when we started looking at Taylor's Ferry, you'll notice the LUFO, there are maps associated with it, no longer includes that. So if we wanted to go and choose the Collins alignment, per se, after we've had this process and the B2, we find some issues with it, we wanted to go back to the Collins, we would have to go back through and then amend through another process that modification.
Okay, thank you. This is all very helpful. I appreciate it very much. And so in light of this, I'm going to withdraw Amendment 7 because it does seem like we need to keep this project on the right timeline. Just a couple more questions. Supposing the process decides that, yes, we are going to take land from Parks to Terwilliger, who wins between Parks if Parks says no and TriMet says yes?
Well, we wouldn't take property away. What we would look to do is have what we would call a continuing control agreement. We've had lots of agreements with Portland Parks, and I can just point to lots of places where we've done work together. And one of them was the Central Greenway, where we did work together. And in this, we would be working with Parks Department to try and make sure that we found something that they found acceptable. So in the end, Parks has a huge say in this alignment and how it would work. That's why in our stakeholder committee, we've proposed to have the directors of BDS, directors of PBOT, and directors of Parks Bureau, because we want to make sure that we haven't done something that we can't get through perming, that we're smart enough, that we pre-look at that.
And can I just make a comment? Someone testified, I made a note, that seemed to imply that OHSU had, quote, hijacked this process. I assure you, as the new Parks Commissioner, we'll be looking out to balance the interests of people that have a justifiable right interest in getting to the main campus up there. I happen to be a frequent flyer up there, so I understand the need. With balancing a citywide treasure, and thank you for putting us at the table. We have confidence in the collaborative process that will unfold. That the interest that we're going to stake out, and the interest that both TriMet and Metro will be balancing, will be done in a way that's collegial.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. So my final change to my amendments before we go back to number one is on number four, which is the 68th Avenue station. My understanding is that the staff is okay with the first paragraph and part B about pedestrian and bicycle facilities to get to 68th, but not with A. So I'd like to withdraw part A of that.
Well, or amend. You're amending.
I'm amending number four to remove A.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Thank you. And again, as we go through them, I'd like to hear from staff directly because I'm getting kind of...
Yeah, messages. I guess the staff person's perspective who provided that is that's an off-the-cuff reading this in the moment and providing some level of what Teresa thinks. I also think the line should be purple. It doesn't always mean that that's the right answer. Actually, I will tell you that the West line truly is the purple one already.
But this is stuff probably you'd be doing anyway, right? Talking to Tigard and providing ped and bike facilities.
It absolutely is. And my perspective on the other element of that, where you're suggesting that the inclusion of the bike and ped facilities be on the light rail structure, that's the council directing that, as opposed to the steering committee, who said, evaluate that, but please look at the other opportunities for providing a crossing of I-5, we don't know yet that that bridge is going to connect people to where they want to go. We just don't. And it's my belief that for us to be directive at this point, and guess what? We will be paying for that. That is likely to be transportation SDC dollars that are brought to a project, and I think it's warranted to have the entirety of the Portland corridor. We've got a lot of projects, whether it's sidewalk on Pomona or Lesser Road or Capitol Hill Road, and I think it would be premature to focus and dictate that here.
Yeah,
that, again, is Teresa Boyle's personal opinion.
Just adopted by Commissioner Fritz, though, so now it's... So actually, you used a word that I think might work in Fritz 1 in terms of looking at the park and ride, and that is to say, however, the appropriateness and capacity of a park and ride facility at Barber Transit Center should be evaluated.
Can you read that one more time for me?
However, the appropriateness and capacity of a park and ride facility at Barber Transit Center should be evaluated. Rather than saying yes or no now, that's part of, you know, I think what we're trying to do.
So that's your amendment then?
Yes, that's
okay.
My amendment.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
So one as amended.
Okay, I think we're ready to vote.
I have some questions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Transportation Commissioner. First, I want to thank my staff and Bureau staff for taking the time and putting in the effort to consider all of Commissioner Fritz's amendments. It took a considerable amount of time, and unfortunately, I only received these most recent amendments 45 minutes before Council convened, so I'm feeling very uncomfortable about making a decision here without being able to connect with my Bureau staff. So the remaining amendments are Fritz 1, Fritz 4, and Fritz 5, and I want to know if Bureau staff or you have any concerns with these amendments.
Not having them in front of me, it's kind of difficult.
Mr. Udaly, do you want to take like a 5-minute recess to let staff look at them? Or?
Sure.
I mean, would that be helpful?
I feel like I've lost track of what everything is.
Yeah,
I'm really
uncomfortable too.
Trying to address. So
okay.
I would appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll take
Thanks.
About a 3-minute recess.
Okay.
Dang. I was hoping for 5. Thank you.
It always turns into 5.
I could disappear for 5.
So it strikes the
sense. Okay.
Because we're going to value them all.